I really like the excitement of going somewhere new, the sense of expectation, the adventure of it all. Maybe journeys is not your idea of fun and you don't quite get that excitement. That's okay as well. But in our story today, our royal official, Mr. Maximus, he was going on a journey, wasn't he? He was going from his hometown to meet Jesus. But actually, when you start to look at the story closer, you see that he's going on two journeys, isn't he? He's going on that physical journey from his home to go and meet Jesus, but he's also going on a spiritual journey. He's going on that journey of trusting in Jesus. So we're going to look at these two journeys in a little bit of detail. And to help us on those journeys, I've got two classic family games to help us through this. So, the first one, hands up, who's played the Game of Life? Anyone play the Game of Life? It's a good game, isn't it? Yes. And then the classic word game, Scrabble. Hands up, you played Scrabble? Most people. Okay. So just for those who haven't played it, let me just quickly ground you in the basics of the Game of Life. The Game of Life is a board game. You work your way around the board, which is your life. And instead of a dice, you spin a wheel. And as you spin the wheel, you go around the journey. But then you also come to have to make decisions. Decisions on your life. Like, will I go to university or will you go straight to work? Will you get married? Will you have kids? Will you buy a house with a swimming pool? Or will you buy an apartment in the city? Lots of big choices. But in Scrabble, it's all about the words, isn't it? You've got tiles, letter tiles, that you've got to make into words. And basically, the more words you know, the better. No more words will help you win the game. So if our royal official Maximus was playing the Game of Life, he'd be doing pretty well, wouldn't he? Chris was saying earlier, he's a royal official. He's an important guy. His career is going pretty well. He's got a family. He's actually even got servants. It's not bad going. But we've got a problem, or he's got a problem. His son has become very sick, very ill, actually near to dying as we looked at. So what's he going to do? So if we're playing the Game of Life, I forgot that bit, don't worry about that. Next slide. Sorry, Josh, I forgot I've got slides. It's at that point in the Game of Life when you spin the wheel. He's got to make a decision, isn't he? He's got to make a decision. What could he do? Chris is saying, there's no doctor, there's no A&E, there's no antibiotics. The man is kind of running out of options on what to do. This, I think, is where we see the start of his journey of trusting in Jesus. You see, he heard that Jesus was back in town. It's about 20 miles away. He lived in Capernaum. If I had the map up, I could show you. It's on the left. And Jesus is in Cana, where he actually did his first sign of changing the water into wine. But the royal official had obviously heard about Jesus. Perhaps he'd heard what he was saying or what he was doing. So perhaps with no other option, he decided to go on this physical journey to meet Jesus, leave his home, and go for help. But he must have had some belief that Jesus could help, mustn't he? Why would you go on probably a couple of day trip if he didn't think so? Well, it's like going from here to London, walking, not in a car, walking. It's quite a serious journey. Why would he do that if he didn't think Jesus could help? Why leave his very sick son? Leave his family when they need him most? So he had to make a decision, didn't he, to go on this walk. As he went on that walk, I wonder whether he had doubts. Would Jesus come to his home? Would I be able to persuade Jesus to come to my house? And would this guy, Jesus, really be able to heal my son? Well, as we saw, when he finds Jesus, what does he do? He pleads with him to help, doesn't he? He begs him, please help my son, come home with me. Now, I had a video clip which isn't working, so we're not going to watch it, but I'm going to try to describe it. It's about a mum who has a child, a very sick child. The child has cystic fibrosis, and this mum has been campaigning to the government for a long time to get this drug. I can't pronounce the drug's name, I'm sorry. This drug so that her child can get better and actually probably survive. It's quite an emotional video. I'd love to show it, but hopefully you get the sense of how important it is for a mother to be caring and wanting their child to be well again. It's like this royal official, Maximus, wanted his son to be well again. And I know earlier we're looking at like a picture of what that looked like, but it's real for him. It's his son. He wanted his child to be better. It's another step on Maximus' journey of trusting Jesus, isn't it? So what does Jesus do? We saw, didn't we? Jesus didn't actually do anything. He said, go. He said, go back home. And then he made him a promise. He said, your son will live. It's a pivotal point, isn't it? It's another spin the wheel moment. Josh, I'm going to just flick through to remind us. It's another, if we're playing the game of life, what does he do? Does he ignore what Jesus has said and told him? Or does he trust Jesus' words? As we've heard this morning already, Maximus trusted Jesus' words. He went home. It says, doesn't it, in the Bible, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. But did he really trust Jesus? Well, the man certainly had some belief, some trust. And his trust, I think, had grown from his initial belief at home. It looks like his encounter, his meeting Jesus, had changed something. Jesus' promise had changed something. Hearing Jesus' words had changed things. But did he really believe? Did he really believe that Jesus would heal his sick son? Well, we don't really know, do we? But if the man did have doubts, he had to wait until at least the next day to find out. He had to get on with his physical journey, walk all the way back home, probably thinking, will my son really live? What do I tell my wife? We just need to trust Jesus' words. And what if my son isn't better? Should he have insisted on Jesus coming with him? And then the next day, the confirmation that Jesus' words are true. The man was met, as we saw, presumably by a very excited servant, running towards him, saying, look, I've got great news. Your son is better. That's fantastic, isn't it? That's brilliant. We can carry on with our lives now. Now, I'm hoping, Josh, we can switch over to the other laptop. I've got a video clip. I was into the radio this week, and there has been some really fantastic news that the government have agreed to make available that drug that I was talking about earlier for cystic fibrosis. And this is a little video clip of one mum telling her child who's ill about the news, that she's going to have this medication. And I've got to admit, when I first heard it, it kind of got me. And I'm hoping we don't all end up in tears here. But the point is, of seeing the emotion and what it meant to this mum and this child of having that medication, knowing that they are going to get better. We can hear the joy, can't we? What tears of joy. Isn't that amazing? It's fantastic. It's great news, isn't it? That this girl, this ill child, is going to be able to get the medication she needs. Maximus and his family must have felt like that. But actually, it's another point in Maximus' life, isn't it? To spin that wheel in that game of life game. You see, I wonder why Maximus asked that question. Why did it matter what time his son was better? His son was better, who cares? Carry on with life. But the journey was much more than just about his son being healed. His journey was about trusting in Jesus. Maximus' question, what time was my son healed? Why did he ask that? Because he wanted to see if Jesus' words were true. I think he wanted to see, was he right to trust Jesus? To know for certain, was Jesus worth trusting? And knowing it was when Jesus said, he will live, confirms that Jesus' words are true. You see, the man's journey of trusting Jesus didn't start with seeing Jesus, did it? It didn't start with him seeing a miracle. Maximus' journey started with hearing about Jesus. He went from looking for Jesus and then pleading with him for help. And he had this small, that small bit of faith to trust in Jesus' words. And then he received that certainty that Jesus was telling the truth. And the result at the end of the story, he and all his household believed in Jesus. And that's better than just the son getting healed, isn't it? All his family were trusting in Jesus. So what about us? I think we can take great encouragement from this true story, can't we? It encourages us to keep trusting Jesus, keep trusting in his words, and this will help us on our journey of life. Because we're all going on a journey in life, aren't we? But we can keep trusting in him. So I don't know where you are on your journey on trusting in Jesus and his words. Maybe you have like a small bit of trust. Maybe a bit like Maximus at the beginning of his story. Maybe you heard something about him and you're kind of intrigued. Or maybe you've got like a medium-sized trust. Well, you know and you trust Jesus, but sometimes you doubt and you're not really sure. Or maybe you have a big trust in Jesus, that you trust whatever he says to be true. I think the story is a great reminder that we can trust in Jesus. And hopefully this story will help us in trusting him more, seeing that what he says is true. And this is just one account of what Jesus did. If you turn with me to the back of the end of John, the end of John's book. Remember, we're going through John's book, John chapter 20. So I got that right? John chapter 20, verse 30. It's on page 1090. At the end of John's book, he says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But listen why he's done that. Why has John written these words? These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, he's the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. See, Jesus did many, many more miracles, many more signs to show us that he is God, he's the Messiah. And he did it to show us that if we trust in him, that we will have eternal life. All the promises that he makes are for us if we're trusting in him. But it's not always easy to trust what people say, is it? Earlier we saw that three of you didn't believe me. Oh, it's okay. I'm not offended too much. But sometimes people don't tell the truth, do they? But we know Jesus' words are always true. If we look back in the whole of the Bible, we see time and time again that God keeps his promises every time. As we look more into the Bible, as we spend time hearing God's words, as we meet Jesus through this way, our lives are changed just like the royal official. But we have a choice, don't we? We have a choice to make. Do we trust Jesus or do we not trust him? So our journey in life, when we spin the wheel, we have to make decisions in life. We need to decide whether we're going to trust Jesus or not. What will you do? I hope, like me, you will try to trust him, even though it's not easy all the time. And sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we don't always believe what we should do. But the more we trust him, the more that we will see that every promise he has made to us, he will keep. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you for this story. Lord, we thank you for this royal official who did trust Jesus' words. Lord, I pray for all of us here this morning, that you will help us day by day on our journey in life to trust you for each and every decision. Help us, Lord, to trust you for all the promises that you've made, knowing that if we believe, that one day we will be with you in heaven for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.